Hi listeners, I'm your host, Serena Rose, and I just wanted to address my absence really quick. You guys, I had a baby. As you can imagine, things have been pretty hectic, and I apologize for not putting episodes out, but my life seems to be getting back to normal, and I promise to be consistent from now on. I would like to fulfill my dream for this podcast. So with that said, thank you for your patience and support. Today's episode is about a young 16-year-old girl named Dina from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I know what you're thinking when you think of Oklahoma. You think of a rural area where there's not much crime, let alone unsolved murders. But an interesting fact about Tulsa: out of the most dangerous cities in America, Tulsa ranks 12th. And with statistics like that, 16-year-old Dina didn't stand a chance. Dina was a member of her high school marching band and had dreams to be an attorney. She had a bright future ahead of her. That is, until her future would be stolen away. This is the story of Dina Dean. The day was June 6, 1998, and Dina had set out to a local grocery store where her best friend Brandy worked. She told her parents earlier that day that she was going to Marvin's grocery store after her shift was over at Arby's. At 8:15 p.m., Dina arrived at the grocery store to meet Brandy. She also agreed to take Brandy home after her shift was over at 10:30. Dina had also ran into some family friends who were doing some shopping at Marvin's grocery store and was seen talking to them around 9:45 p.m. At 10:30, Brandy exited the store to meet Dina. Dina's car was parked outside, but Dina was nowhere to be found. At this time, the family friends exited the store and seen Brandy noticeably upset outside waiting for Dina. Brandy had told them that Dina had plans to meet a boy, but she was supposed to be back in time to take her home. They offered her a ride home, but Brandy declined. She said she would wait for Dina. The family friends knew something was not right, and they called Dina's parents. Dina's father, Larry, had a gut feeling that something wasn't right, so he grabbed his keys and headed over to the grocery store. When he arrived at the grocery store, his suspicion would turn into a full-on panic as he looked inside Dina's car. He noticed that her purse was still in the car, sitting on the passenger seat. He had a spare key, so he checked to see if the car started, thinking Dina may have ran into some car trouble. But the car started up just fine. There was gas in the tank, so where was Dina? At this point, her father started walking around the store's building looking for his daughter. He even walked up to a dumpster and was afraid of what he may find. He lifted the lid to the dumpster and looked inside. There was nothing. I mean, thank God, but still, where was Dina? Her father called the Tulsa County Sheriff's Department, and they told Dina's father that she was probably just a runaway out with a boy or some friends. The morning of June 7th, there was still no sign of Dina. Local news started covering Dina's disappearance. Her parents knew that she was not a runaway, and they knew that they were running out of time. Family, friends, and classmates began to pass out flyers and held numerous searches. On day 4 of the search, the county sheriffs began to search for a body, as the odds that Dina was just out with friends was highly unlikely. As her parents were searching for clues as to where Dina could have gone and who she could have been with that night, they began to uncover some secrets of Dina's. Ugh, the secret life of a teenage girl. Like a lot of 16-year-old girls, Dina was what her friends described her as, boy crazy. And there was obviously a lot of things that Dina did not share with her mom and dad. On the 10th day of the search for Dina, the county sheriffs focused their search in a heavily wooded area not too far from the grocery store where Dina's abandoned car was found. Our health is more important than ever, so why wait to receive the treatment you deserve? At Green Dock Evaluations, a licensed physician from your state can instantly provide a medical marijuana recommendation to help you return to full health. Cannabis has been clinically proven to help treat pain as well as a wide range of medical conditions, including arthritis, nausea, and dementia. So why wait? Go to greendocevaluations.com and receive your medical marijuana recommendation within minutes of your appointment. You'll receive a physical certificate of your recommendation as well as a plastic ID card in the mail. You'll also have access to print out your recommendation the day of your visit so you can use it the same day. All you need to do is register as a patient on the website. The future of healthcare is green, so put your health first at greendocevaluations.com. That area was called the Hilltop by locals. It was a remote area where teens would go to party and be alone. And there, next to a pond in the wooded brush, lay Dina's lifeless body. The body was fully clothed, but had noticeable trauma to the face. The detective that found Dina said that it was an eerie sight to find Dina just lying there, knowing that she was only 16 years old and she had her whole life ahead of her. Investigators were unable to determine if Dina's body was dragged to the location her body was found, or if she was running away from her killer and he or she caught up to her and killed her there. What they do know is whoever Dina was with that night, she had to have known and trusted them. Investigators now turn their attention to Dina's friends, particularly her friend Brandy, who last seen her. Upon questioning Brandy, they learned of a boy that Dina was dating for about a year named Sam. They immediately turned their attention to Sam. Apparently, Dina and Sam had broken up just days prior to her disappearance. Could it have been Sam, Dina's parents wondered, the well-mannered, laid-back boy they knew? According to her friends, Dina had lost interest in Sam months ago. Sam's alibi was verified by numerous co-workers who worked with him that night. Sam was eventually ruled out as a suspect. Dina's friend Brandy told investigators that Dina had begun to date her co-worker, a boy named Michael Converse. And the night of Dina's disappearance, Dina told Brandy that Mike's shift was ending soon and he wanted to talk to Dina in the parking lot. When investigators tried to get a hold of Mike to question him, they were told that Mike went on a trip and he was not in town. This was obviously very suspicious to investigators. And when they asked the manager of the grocery store, they were told Mike Converse had suddenly quit his job at the grocery store. So who was Mike Converse? He was older than Dina. He was a senior in high school. Apparently, Dina was dating Michael for a month. And that's not all. According to Brandy, Dina told Michael that she may have been pregnant. But Brandy went on to tell investigators that Dina was lying because she was on birth control. And she told Dina that she should tell Michael the truth. Brandy said that when Dina wasn't there to pick her up, she paged Dina several times. Dina was always dependable, so it was completely out of character that Dina would not be there when she said she would be. Brandy called her brother's girlfriend to pick her up that night. She explained to her brother's girlfriend that she was worried about her friend Dina. Brandy and her brother's girlfriend knew where Michael lived, so they decided to go to his house to see if everything was okay. When they got to Michael's house, his mother answered the door. She told the girls that Michael wasn't home and that he was bowling and he should be home shortly. Minutes later, Michael arrived and Brandy asked Michael where Dina was. Brandy said that Michael looked kind of disheveled and out of breath, like he had been running or something. Michael told her that Dina was not outside of the grocery store like they had planned and that he had not seen her all night. Apparently, Brandy took Michael's word and left. After questioning Michael Converse, they learned that Michael had got off work that night around 10 o'clock. Michael told investigators that he got home from work around 10:15 and then left to meet friends at a pool hall and later went to a local bowling alley. When investigators questioned Michael's brother about the time that Michael got home, he said that Michael got home around 10:45. Michael's friends also confirmed his whereabouts. Investigators went to the grocery store to check Michael's time card to see the time that he left. The grocery store manager informed investigators that they were not the only ones interested in Michael's time card. Apparently, on June 7th, a day after Dina's disappearance, Michael's father, Robert Converse, went to the grocery store and asked for his son's time card. And if that's not bizarre enough, Michael's father was at Marvin's grocery store the night of Dina's disappearance. Robert was seen talking to his son at the store. When investigators questioned Robert, he actually denied being at the grocery store the night of Dina's disappearance. Investigators asked Michael and Robert Converse to come in for a formal interview, but their lawyer did not allow it. Investigators got a search warrant to examine Michael's car, but Michael had sold the car and claimed that he did not know where the owner's whereabouts were. Finally, 4 months later, the car was located and examined, but all tests had come back inconclusive. When you go to your job, you clock in like an electronic timestamp. But back in the day, it was literally a time card that you would stamp. So the fact that Michael's father was trying to recover that time card is very sketch, because without that time card, they had no way of telling when Michael left work. Another potential suspect was Dina's older brother, Jonathan. Apparently, Dina's older brother was at the dump site the morning she disappeared. But Jonathan stated that he went to the dump site looking for Dina because, remember, it was a popular area for teens to go. Jonathan went to the dump site with his wife and his younger sister, but there was no sign of Dina. Jonathan and Dina were very close, but he was also involved in drugs and vehicle robberies in the area. Personally, I think that the Tulsa County Sheriff's Department was just kind of biased. They were basically harassing Jonathan because he went on to say that he was questioned several times, and an investigator even went on to say that he killed Dina because Dina didn't want to have sex with him. Apparently, Jonathan got so upset when the investigator said this that he actually punched the investigator. Even more frustrating is Dina's older brother, Jonathan, had an alibi. The night of her disappearance, he was at the Kellyville racetrack. After numerous attempts by the Tulsa Sheriff's Department working the Jonathan angle, they finally cleared him as a suspect. Sadly, this case was never solved. They never found out who murdered Dina. It was in 1998, so that's over 23 years ago, and whoever murdered Dina is just out there living life free and clear. Dina's parents still hold vigils for her on the anniversary of her disappearance, and it's just something they've had to come to terms with, that they're not going to ever find out Dina's killer. Personally, I feel like Michael Converse and Robert Converse definitely did it, but without any evidence. There was never anything that definite into implicating them into her murder. It's just so sad because Dina was only 16 years old, and you know, from the outside looking in, you know, she lied to this boy that she was pregnant. It was probably just a attempt to keep him around. Maybe she really liked him and he wasn't that into her, and she thought that she told him if she was pregnant that, you know, maybe he would start feeling more feelings for her or tell her how he feels about her. I'm not sure what she was trying to gain in the lie of saying she was pregnant, but we'll never know. We'll never know who killed Dina Dean, this bright light at 16 years old with her whole life ahead of her. If you guys have any recommendations for any cases, go ahead and DM me on our Instagram at @criminalitypodcast. Thank you for listening. Until next time, stay safe.